Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another show of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. I'm Tweety.
Nah, I'm here this Tweety. Week, man. I'm back this week. A few weeks off, I'm back now. What's going on?
Sitting in my chair downstairs, about to go to sleep. Anyway,
you about to go
jump.
To sleep on the show?
I was about to.
Hey, Rich,
anyway,
man,
let's
what's
jump
up,
right
man?
Into
just
it.
Let you know that.
All right. What's going
but,
on?
Yeah.
A lot going on this week in sports. A lot of, controversy, but some interesting things happening this week in sports. For those of you who've been living under a rock or missed it, there was a parent that wrote a letter about Cam Newton dancing last week. If you don't know, if you didn't see the game, Carolina played the Titans. He scored a touchdown, and part of the dance he did was a dance they called a dab.
Yeah.
And he scored. He did it. He was standing. He wasn't standing in zone by himself, but he was facing toward the crowd. He did the dance. And then a Tennessee Titan player, I don't know, I guess he must have had an issue with it, had something to say about it, and Cam did it once or twice. Well, I don't think he did the dab, but he did, I think, forgot what the other thing they called. But anyway, the fan wrote in, she had a problem with his dance and the fact that she felt like he was trying to show the other team up, and she was wanting to know how was she supposed, I guess her 9-year-old was asking questions. What do you think about what the letter said or what the parent was saying?
It was unnecessary and irrelevant, really. Like how you bring your child to a sporting event, not a kid's sporting event. It's grown men out there playing, and they get paid to do what they do. And I don't know a player who doesn't get in the end zone and dance. I mean, not in today's NFL anyway. It's very few and far between where you see a player get in the end zone and actually dance. But, it was stupid. I mean, if you don't want your kids to see certain stuff, don't bring them out to a event. Like, if you're in public, your kid will probably hear cussing. Your kid probably heard a bunch of obscenities yelled at the same player that she heard, that she saw dancing. So, I'm pretty sure it was worse things going on at that moment than Cam Newton dancing. So I think her problem was just more. I don't know what her problem was. I don't even get the situation. I don't even get her complaint.
Cam Newton has an interesting reputation. I think amongst a lot of people, he's kind of like, he has a bad reputation. Even though he has a reputation as being a sulk over any first. Somebody who sulks when he doesn't play very well in the first time to the NBA. But outside of that, I can't think of really anything that he himself has necessarily done to get him the reputation that I think that he has in among some fans. The interesting part for me is it's always interesting what people complain about and what they don't complain about. For example, I'm not knocking Odell Beckham Jr. Last year he danced quite a bit. You know, he was doing the whip and the nay-nay. And Carson Palmer actually got fined. I wouldn't necessarily call it what he did. It was a dance, but it was kind of more of a, we'll call it a pelvic thrust. He got fined by the NFL. So of all these different things, the kid's mom writes about Cam Newton dancing in the end zone and taunting. I think the one thing that I would take away from this is I would say that, you know, as a parent, you maybe should not encourage your kids to try to take out the professional athletes. I think what Charles Barkley has been saying for years, that parents should be role models for kids and not athletes. I think that kind of sets it here. You know, that's kind of comes into play here, because if you think that it's up to Cam Newton to teach your son or daughter what the proper behavior is when they're playing sports, then you may have a problem. within your own household. You know, so I thought it was unnecessary just because, like I said, I think that as a parent, you know, like I said, if professional athletes are determining what's right and wrong in your household and you're not doing your job to determine that as best you possibly can, because obviously at the end of the day, the child has to make their mind up. But if you're allowing an athlete to dictate what's right and wrong in your house, then you got problems bigger than what Cam Newton is doing on the field. Interesting day, moving on past the interesting day in college football last night. We'll start off with probably the first big game, Ohio State versus Michigan State. Connor Crisp, quarterback, Michigan State. Yeah, he ended up not playing. I think he got hurt or something like that. I can't remember why he didn't play, but whatever it was, the injury he had had not healed enough for him to play this week. So even though he did dress, he did not play. Michigan State used two quarterbacks in the game. And Michigan State ended up winning, which will probably change, will obviously have an effect on college football playoff ranking. Probably the most interesting thing, even though I didn't particularly think it was a very great game, I think one team won the game, but I don't think either team particularly played that well, was what Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott had to say after the game. I'm not going to read everything he said or anything like that, but I'm going to summarize it or give my take on what he said. He basically said that he doesn't know why Ohio State didn't run the ball more than they did. In particular, giving him the ball, he did say that they had one particular style of running where they were gashing Michigan State, and then he continued to ask the coaches to run that particular type of play, and after they ran it successfully earlier in the game, they didn't run it anymore after that. And he basically said that it was the coaches' fault that they lost. He said they didn't put the coaches – the coaches didn't put the team in a position to win. He also said that this is not his last game at Ohio State. But he said he would not be coming back. Yeah, he would not be coming back to Ohio State next year. What do you think about what he had to say? Was he wrong? Was he wrong in the sense that as a player, he should not have said this publicly? Or was he right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was right in what he said, but he was wrong in how he went about it. Like you said, he shouldn't have came out to the public. I mean, hey, you lost the game. I mean, even you say you got the ball 10 times. You got the ball 11 times. You got, what, 30? No, about 50-something
yards. 33 yards.
Oh, yeah. So it was his first time out rushing for 100 this season, if I'm not mistaken. But I mean, you get the ball 11 times, you're only getting 30 some yards. You ain't doing that good of a job yourself. It's not like you was, you know, lighting the world on fire with your 11 carries. So, I mean, Urban Meyer felt like he couldn't run the ball, felt like he had to throw the ball. I mean, it wasn't like they was just setting the world on fire with their running game. So he was right. They should have kept running the ball because of the type of a game it was, but. And maybe even giving him the ball more might have helped out. But, I mean, hey, you don't call people out in public, because once you do that, a lot of fingers going to start looking at you. Now, what did you do to give the coach more confidence in you in this game? Not throughout not your body of work, but in this game, to give you the ball more. And by the stats,
the interesting hard to me, and I would disagree with you about whether or not he did enough to get the ball, because when you have big-time players, you don't necessarily you give them the ball more, continue to give them the ball, in my opinion, based on what they've done for you in the past. Otherwise,
right, and
you know, after two or three carries, you would just sub somebody out because he doesn't have a rhythm. So I would disagree saying, whatever you've done for me this game. I think that
Why?
He still should have gotten the ball more. I mean, if you get a guy,
I agree with that.
14 or 15 straight 100-yard rushing games in a game of this magnitude, I don't think you can just give him the ball 12 times.
Let's just look at the last three or four games. He hasn't been getting the ball no more than 13, 14 times, and he's still been doing his thing, getting his 100 yards. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have gotten the ball more. All I'm saying is this. If once you call somebody out publicly, things are going to start coming back at you. You make that call in-house. You don't call that out
even
in public because now
publicly,
it's like
this would be my argument against that. Why is it okay for coaches to call players out and talk about how good or bad, how when they don't play well, they can call a player out, but a player can't do the same thing? You shouldn't throw stones if you live in a glass house. I'm just saying, like, if you don't want him to say anything to the media, if you don't want to have him answer truthfully to the media about how he feels, one, probably the biggest thing I say is don't let him interview with the media. That's probably number one. That would be the biggest thing to me. Two is if the policy of the team is we don't criticize people in public, then my opinion would be as a coach, you should never do the same. You should never do that. If I don't want my players criticizing each other, criticizing coaches in the public, then I as a coach would not do that. So I don't think it's fair to try to play it both ways. You know, and the other thing is I think I don't have any evidence, any information. I haven't seen anything, haven't read anything. But I think that maybe there is something else going on because this feels like, you know how you have when a boyfriend and girlfriend have an argument and then somebody says something because they get so pissed off and they're like, oh, you know, I hate you or that's why you did whatever. And it just like, you're like, wait a minute, I think you just went too far. And then you caught up in their emotions. I wonder if there's something else that happened this week or maybe something that was kind of going on last week. Because I saw the interview, and he just looked – it just seemed like it just kind of came out of nowhere. You know, you haven't heard anything about him complaining or anything like that. I haven't seen anything. It just seemed like it came out of nowhere. And I would wonder if there's – you know, I wouldn't be surprised if something else came out later on that, you know, maybe he had some issues there sometime in the last few weeks.
And that's what
because
I'm saying.
I mean, even when he said he was leaving, he just seemed a little bitter.
And that's fine. Like, even if this has been a brewing problem, keep it in-house. Like,
why is it okay for Urban Meyer to publicly criticize players if he can't be criticized publicly?
Who said it was okay?
Well, I'm just saying, I ain't heard you ever say that on here about Urban Meyer criticizing players.
Because we're not talking about Urban Meyer. We're talking about him.
Why? This directly relates to him because he is a coach that he's one of the coaches that Ezekiel Elliott is referring to. Because you're saying
Did he call out Ezekiel Elliott this year?
When he talked about Cordell Jones. Not playing well.
I said Ezekiel Elliott. And he's the coach. He's the boss. He's the only one getting paid. He's the only one whose livelihood is on the line.
The coach should have a different set of rules than his players.
The coach does have a different set of rules than his players by the nature of him being the coach. This ain't the NFL. This is quote-unquote.
I disagree.
This is college.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't matter whether it's the NFL or not.
It does matter. It does
matter.
Because he's the only one whose livelihood is on the line. It does. And once again, I'm not saying it's okay. And once again, I never said it was okay for Urban Meyer to do it. But I said it should be him and not a player. If you're going to leave. Urban Meyer going to be there next year.
It doesn't matter. I disagree with that. Ezekiel, when Ezekiel Elliott is done playing college football, do you think Urban Meyer is going to pay his bills? No. So why should Ezekiel Elliott only do what's best for Urban Meyer? Okay, then. So don't tell me that because Urban Meyer is going to be there next year. You know what? Ezekiel Elliott is going to play in the NFL next year. So
right, Ezekiel Elliott is
going
to go make his money next year. And if he becomes a leader on the team, people will say it's okay for him to question people publicly. Why? Because it's his livelihood.
Listen, and my birth certificate, on my
public.
Birth certificate, it don't say people. My name is on my birth certificate.
Okay, LJ, but we're not just talking about you now. You want to say,
that's
why is it okay for us?
then,
I'm giving you
what
my,
I said,
my
it don't
perspective
matter to you
is,
then, Jackson. Why are you even asking me if you're going to say, well, it really don't matter then if you ask me my opinion. I'm saying
I'm
if anybody was to call anybody out on a college team, it's going to be the coach. Because his job is on the line.
But my opinion is the opposite. I mean, I personally think that coaches, no players, should handle those kind of issues in the media. That's my opinion. But
okay.
I would say this. If you are a coach or a player and you're going to criticize people in the media, you should not complain if the same thing happens to you. Because if it is a rule, if that's how we're going to handle the media or handle issues, that we handle them in-house, my opinion, it should be a top-down thing. As the leader of that team or any organization, if you're going to expect, it's not everything because it doesn't work that way, but stuff like that, if you expect that from your subordinates, your behavior should be the same way. That's my opinion. That's how I see it. I don't think Urban Meyer does that. I think that I've seen red stuff in particular about the quarterback situation in the past where he has said critical statements about quarterbacks.
Well, okay, one crucial thing you said is if that's how they decide to handle the media. What if that's not one of his rules? What if we don't see nothing come from Ohio State saying that he's going to be suspended? You asked my opinion again. No, I still say he's wrong because of his position. He is a player.
Yeah,
be quiet
feel that way,
and go
I
play the game.
I disagree. I'm saying I disagree. And I'm not saying whether it's a rule or it isn't at Ohio State. But what I'm telling you is I have seen interviews where Urban Meyer has had negative comments, has made negative comments about the play of quarterbacks on his team this season. So
was he wrong?
If it is a rule, he has violated that rule. And again, I'm not a believer. And I know that, you know, when we think of college kids, when most people think of college players, they think of them, these are kids, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, to a certain extent, that is, it's a yes or no thing. I think you're at that particular time in your life, you're kind of a young adult. Not necessarily, you're not really a kid anymore. Because if you don't go to college, your parents are not really required to provide for you anymore like they are when you're in high school.
High school.
And when you're, all the way up through 12th grade. So I don't know that these kids, that they're necessarily kids anymore as opposed to young adults that are maturing. So, I mean, everything depends on the way you view it. If you view it on he's just a coach, and they automatically work for him and it's blind allegiance, that's one way. I don't necessarily view it like that. I view it as what's good for the goose in most of these things is good for the gander. If you don't want me to say anything to you about, I don't give a shit if you're a coach or not. I just don't believe that you can get out there and just say, well, just because I'm the coach, I can say bad stuff about you in the media. And if they ask you a question about, maybe not specifically about me, but about the game, and I can say, well, I didn't think the coach did this well, I feel like as a player, you have the right to say that. If there's consequences, there's consequences, but you still have that right. But,
you have the right to say it regardless.
But that's just me. That's how I view it. We'll see what happens. I don't know if anything will happen. I would probably agree that I would not be surprised if he got suspended. I personally don't think he should get suspended.
I would be surprised if he got suspended.
I think college coaches,
go ahead.
That's why a lot of college coaches have trouble in the NFL because in the NFL they don't have as much control over their players as they do in college.
Because,
but, Urban Meyer is actually in a very tough spot. They still don't have a outside shot at making the college football playoff system because they only have one loss. They probably won't. But they still have an outside shot to make it because they're only a one-loss team, even though in reality they haven't really played all that great all season. But they still got a big game coming up. I believe it's this week.
Michigan.
They play Michigan.
Michigan,
so
yeah.
They still
got
have a
game
shot.
Of the year.
Michigan won this past weekend. So Michigan, I think they were number 15 or something like that. There's been a couple of losses in the top 15 this week, including at least one top 10 team that lost. So,
two, was it
wouldn't
two
be
or
surprised
one top 10?
If, actually two, you're right. Baylor lost. Excuse me, not Baylor. Oklahoma State lost.
Oklahoma State
and,
lost.
And Ohio State lost,
yeah,
obviously. So, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising if Michigan moves up into the top 10 this next week. And Ohio State more than likely is going to stay inside the top 10. So that game will possibly have some college football playoff implications when Michigan plays Ohio State. And I definitely don't think he wants to be without his top running back. Now,
right,
we'll
that's why I said
you know,
I don't think he'll be suspended. And I'll ask reason why I said he'll be surprised. Yeah, well, yeah, right.
Yeah,
and well,
he's not coming back
that, and
anyway.
I say that because Urban Meyer really, whether he talks about him in public or not, that win-loss record is all that matters. And they have a whole heck of a better chance of winning with him on the field than without him on the field, whether they give him the ball.
Yeah, but,
six times, 26 times.
Even if you were to suspend him, he's got really nothing to lose because it doesn't affect your team next year. It would help him set the tone of this is not how we operate if he did suspend Ezekiel Elliott because he got nothing to lose for next season. But that's neither here nor there.
True that.
Trying to move on, try to hit two more topics before we get out of here. We got about 8 minutes left. So
okay.
Peyton Manning not cut. Played like crap last week. I mean, he played absolutely terrible. He was 5-20. Peyton Manning. He did set the the NFL's all-time passing yardage mark. He passed Brett Favre, but he played like crap. I think he had 4 interceptions. He played horrible. He eventually got benched. Now they said, whatever coach's name, Gary Kubiak said, oh, you know, he shouldn't have played this past Sunday because he was injured, and I should have just. Bottom line, I already said before in this show that Peyton Manning was washed. Do you think he's ever going to be the starter for the Broncos again? He didn't. By the way, he got, I don't think he's suited up this week. Brock Osweiler started. He's actually playing pretty well first half.
Right.
He's 14 for 18, 1 touchdown. The Broncos are up 7-6 at halftime over the Bears. Do you think Peyton Manning is going to – do you think he'll be the starter again for the Broncos at any point this season?
It's one of those things where I think this is actually his last season. Nobody wants to say nothing about it, though. I think this is possibly his last season. And if he's healthy enough, I hate to say it, yeah, I think he plays. Because I'm just going to say it, I don't think Brock Osweiler is going to show them enough to be like, well, we're getting a lot more with you than without you. So if Peyton Manning get healthy enough, as trash as he's been this season, He'll play.
I think Peyton Manning will come back, like you said, if he's healthy at some point. I think he comes back and he's a starter. Even if Brock Osweiler plays great, I think he comes back and he's a starter in name because of his name alone. If he wasn't Peyton Manning, like, you know, when Tom Brady basically became Tom Brady when he took over for an injured Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And, Drew Bledsoe, while he was a great quarterback in the NFL, is not quite Peyton Manning. So I agree with you that Peyton Manning, as long as he's healthy or healthy enough, will start at some point. And I wouldn't be surprised if he rushed himself back just to prevent Brock Osweiler from kind of pushing him out the door unceremoniously because a guy of Peyton Manning's stature probably does not want to go out the way he went out. I mean, he'd like to have probably, I would imagine, at least a decent game and not, you know, have been 5-20 and thrown 4 interceptions. Plus, he's still got a couple of records that he probably can break if he comes back at some point this season. Moving on, last topic, we're going to try to catch Warriors. 14-0 right now. Obviously, they won the NBA championship last season. I think they're playing great as a team right now. To me, Klay Thompson has not played very well in the games that I've seen, and I've looked at his stats. He hasn't played as well. He's definitely not playing at the all-star level that he played at for a good portion of last season. And if you look at it, he really didn't play worth a flip in the finals. Obviously, Steph Curry is playing off the charts right now.
Right.
I want to get your thoughts on something. I've seen this in the media, reading, watching different shows and podcasts, people are saying, how can he take it to another level? I think that Steph Curry was motivated this offseason about what people were saying about how he played in the NBA Finals. because in my opinion, stupidly and wrongly, people were kind of saying that Matthew Dellavedova was locking Steph Curry up. And the guy of his stature, I know if I was him, and I would think he took it the same way, was probably personally offended and, probably took that chip on his shoulder and was like, you know what, I'm going to show everybody next season. And he's burning the NBA up this year. But if the Warriors win, they will set the record. If they win tonight, they play the Nuggets tonight on ESPN. If they win, they set the record for the most win – or, excuse me, for the best record to start a season for a team after winning the championship. I think it was the 95-96 Bulls that went 72-10
and
10, or 96-97, one of them. They started the season off 12-2. If the Nuggets win tonight, do you think they're better than that Bulls team?
Man, that's to be said. I mean, it'll be a tough matchup, honestly, because they play two different styles of basketball. This is a jump shooting team. This is one of the few, if not the only, team that you see dominate with the jump shot, and that's just a different type of style. So I can't say if they were better. Like, honestly, no, I don't think they would be better in a 7-game series, but it'll go 7. And I think as far as
it'll
what you're saying
seven.
With
you
this
think
step.
So?
Yeah, because like I say, I don't. And if it doesn't go 7, then if it ends in less than 7, then Golden State wasn't hitting jumpers, because it would be. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, if you put the Warriors lineup where they play the best out there, which is Curry, Thompson, Iguodala, Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes. That's typically the lineup they have where they play probably their best basketball. Now, if you remember, the Bulls played in that era. The Bulls played small ball. People just don't think about it and remember it.
Right.
They
played
about,
small ball, but
small
they can't. They really couldn't shoot jumpers like that.
Yeah, they couldn't shoot jumpers. But if you think about it, the Bulls during that era had three of the best defensive players of that era.
True.
Right? They had two
I'll
guys
give you
on
that
the
one.
Team who won Defensive Player of the Year. And I don't think people realize that. If you take match that five against the Warriors five, the Warriors are only better at one position. And that's going to be point guard. I think Steph Curry is better than Ron Harper.
Yeah.
At that particular
Harper.
Point in his career. But I don't think Draymond Green, in my opinion, is not better than Dennis Rodman. We don't even have to talk about whether Klay Thompson is better than Jordan. Harrison Barnes is not better. Harrison Barnes is not better than Scottie Pippen. And Iguodala would be matched up against Tony Kukoc. I think you can either call that a wash. Maybe that's a wash.
I think
Iguodala is better.
Iguodala
is the best defensive player,
career.
Obviously.
But, I would say at this point
Kukoc
in his career.
Still lighting it up.
Right. That's why I say at this point in his career, Kukoc will be a bigger offensive threat. But like you say, if it would be a whole thing of, hey, we're going to just put Iguodala out there just to lock him up, then, that could be a wash. But I would say offensively, Kukoc will still bring more fire to the court than Andre Iguodala at this point in both of their careers.
I take the Bulls because the Bulls, Jordan is by far away better than anybody else. I think even Scottie Pippen is probably better than Steph Curry, or at least that's a wash. And Dennis Rodman is a Hall of Fame player. He's better than the third best player.
Right.
I wouldn't say by far, but he's better than the third best player on that team.
Warriors.
But, I think the Bulls win. I'm not sure if it's a sweep. Maybe five, maybe six games. Maybe.
But that's why I said if it doesn't go seven, that means Golden State wasn't hitting jumpers. Because I don't think they would
Golden
win
State,
it in less than seven. I would think
the
only way
State
they would have a chance to win it is if
they
win seven. Oh, no. It's just too much scoring, too much parity in the NBA. I don't think they're going to get it. They're going to get close, though.
Running out of time. We only got a couple of seconds left. See y'all next week. Thank y'all for tuning in. Talk with Tweety and LJ.
Tweety and LJ. Holla.
I'm here trying to bury this up.